Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will serve the Lord, for He is our God. And this is one of the most familiar passages in all of the Old Testament. Many of you here this morning probably have a piece of furniture in your house or something that has Joshua 24:15 on it in some form or fashion. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the book of Joshua, for the most part, is an exception when we look at the Old Testament as a whole. Because in the book of Joshua, the people of God look fantastic. They look great in the book of Joshua. They are faithful to the Lord. And the book of Joshua ends here in chapter 24 with Joshua going over as he's addressing the leaders in chapter 23. But then here in chapter 24, addressing the people, saying what they need to do if they are going to stay faithful. And the people say, you know what? We're going to do that. And they enter and renew that covenant with Israel. And everything up to this point in the Old Testament has been pointing to this. From Joseph, when he is sold into slavery and in the land of Egypt, it has now been a conquest of the people getting out of Egypt and getting into the promised land. And as Joshua ends, this is just a great place. Don't you wish the Old Testament could just end here? God's people being faithful to Him in the promised land that He told them that they would have. They're serving Him. Everything looks great. But then the next book, Judges, is one of the darkest time periods that the people of Israel will ever face. The depravity of sin is seen in a vivid way. The same people that said here in the verses that we read that, you know what, far be it from us that we should go and forsake the Lord our God and serve these other gods, they went and did that very thing. The time of Joshua, the people are faithful, but in Judges, it is an absolute disaster. And these people went from faith to failure. But are we so different? Now, for those of us who are Christians, who have been baptized for the remission of our sins, and we've put off the old man, we've killed him, we've done away with that, and we've put on the new man to serve God and to follow Him each and every day, yet how often do we do the same thing that Israel did? That we've entered a covenant with God. We said, hey, I'm going to give my life to You. I'm going to serve You. I'm not going to serve any other gods. I'm going to give my life to You, and yet after a while, we end up failing. We end up falling back into those old ways. Why do we go from faith to failure as well? Are we like the person described in 2 Peter 2:22? 2 Peter 2:22, where it says, "The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, having washed, returns to her wallowing in the mire." Have we said, I'm going to serve You, God. I'm going to give my life to You. But yet find ourselves going back to our old ways, continuing in sins that we've been trying to get away from. Just like the people of Joshua 24, it begs the question in our lives, what happened? What happened? What happened that made such a significant change in their lives from them serving God faithfully to them just one generation later, departing from the Lord? And so for the remainder of our time this morning, I want us to focus on this question of what happened. What happened to the people of Joshua 24, where they vowed that they were going to serve the Lord, but then a book later, they're not serving Him. And as we look at that, at those chapters in Joshua and Judges, we will be sure and make application to our lives today. So have a Bible open and follow along as we study this idea of what happened. And first, may I suggest that what happened was it was a failure to remove obstacles. Now, when I was younger, I would play the game chicken with firecrackers. I have a twin brother. I mean, doesn't that just sound like a beginning of a bad story? I mean, many of you maybe don't know what the game chicken is, but it's basically a game where the first person to back out loses. So we would have these firecrackers and we would light them at the same time, and then it was whoever threw it up in the air first lost. I mean, that's to the reason this day why I only have 4.5 fingers. No, I'm kidding, I have 5. But, you know, I tell that story that, oh, I played chicken with firecrackers growing up, and it's like, oh, this is not going to end well. Well, what happened? Well, nothing happened. We did that once, and it freaked us both out, so we stopped playing. But, you know, you read Judges chapter 1, and it's the same way. It's the beginning of a bad story that everything looks like this is setting up for disaster. And that's really what happens in especially Judges chapter 1, verses 27 through 35. It's foreshadowing of the things that come. Remember, they are living in the promised land, the land that God brought them into and made all those conquests in the book of Joshua possible. They drove out all those nations and they were supposed to keep them away. But yet, we see some things happen. In Judges chapter 1, verse 27, it says, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants. Verse 28, when Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. Judges 1:29, Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites. Chapter 1, verse 30, Zebulun. 31, Asher. Verse 33, Naphtali. Do you see the trend? Tribe after tribe fails to remove the nations from among them. And those were going to be huge obstacles in their path when it comes to serving God. And Joshua warned them because he knew that those nations, those foreign nations that they were supposed to drive out from among them, were going to be a huge temptation. And he said, get rid of them. But yet in Judges chapter 1, we see that they fail to remove those nations. And Joshua warned them in Joshua 23. Verses 6 through 8, Joshua says, therefore, when this is when he is addressing the leaders of Israel, he says, therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of the gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. And there's this warning, not to mix with the other nations. They're supposed to keep themselves separate. In other words, they themselves are to be holy. That's what God desires for His people, to not mix in with those people of the world that don't have the same beliefs. And why is that? Well, He continues in verse 12. He warns them, for if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And oh, how those other nations were huge stumbling blocks to the nations, to the nation of Israel. They failed to remove the obstacles that were in their way that Joshua warned them. Those obstacles were going to be there, and yet they didn't get rid of them in their lives. And you know, as Christians, the same thing can happen to us. You know, although from time to time we're going to get smacked in the face when it comes to situations that may make us maybe compromise our sin, compromise our faith, a moment of weakness where we're caught off guard and a situation happens where we just fall short. It just smacks us in the face. James 1:2 shows us that. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials. Not when you walk or wander. When you fall, there's going to be times where we just fall into a trial. We fall into a situation that catches us off guard. And so there are going to be exceptions where we just can't remove an obstacle because it just comes out of nowhere. But for the most part, what happens to us is that we are our own worst enemies when it comes to putting ourselves in the right place to do the wrong thing. You know, when it comes to the temptations in your life, are you prudent to see them in the future? Think about the situations you may find yourself in and say, you know, I don't need to do that. Or again, are we like the dog in 2 Peter 2:22 that returns to its own vomit? Are we going to situations that we know may make us compromise our faith? Do we try and get as close to sin as possible? Well, if you play with fire long enough, you're bound to get burned. And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, a familiar passage, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." It's a powerful passage. But it's even more so when we understand the context. Do we remember what 1 Corinthians 15 is about? A chapter that Paul is talking about the resurrection. We sometimes nickname it the resurrection chapter. And Paul, right before this in verse 33, is addressing them, hey, don't mix, don't be around the people who don't believe in the resurrection. What a warning that is for us. That if you spend time with people who share different beliefs, different morals, different values than you in your life, you know what that's going to do? It's going to affect the way you think. You need to remove those obstacles far from you. And that's why Paul, a verse later in verse 34, he says, "Wake up from your drunken stupor, as it is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame." Wake up. If you spend your time with people who share different beliefs than you, eventually that's going to rub off. It happened to the people of Israel, and it can happen to us today. If there's a foreseeable problem, an obstacle in our way, we need to remove it so it doesn't trip us up. Because Colossians 3 and verse 3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." I mean, if we've been baptized, we belong to God. We are trying to serve Him. And that means we get rid of those obstacles that are in our path. But if we don't get away from those obstacles, if we leave those right out in front of us, you want to know what's going to happen? Well, we're going to trip. We're going to stumble. And that is exactly what happened to the people of Joshua 24. And we see that in Judges chapter 1. So we need to think about the situations we put ourselves in. Make sure that we aren't just walking into an obstacle, but that we are removing it far from us. But second, how they went from faith to failure was a failure to raise knowledgeable leaders. The failure that happened to the people of Israel was both on a personal and national level. They failed to teach the next generation about Yahweh, who God was. And the book of Joshua shows us that. It ends with a shift in the leaders. Joshua 24, verses 29 through 33, we see three funerals recorded. And those three funerals are about Joshua, Joseph, although Joseph has been dead for a long time now, but we see some things regarding his bones, and then Eleazar, the priest. And so again, as Joshua ends, what do we have? We have three of the leaders of the people. Their funerals are being observed. And what that shows us is there's a changing of the guard. Those older leaders of the people of Israel are dying off. And meaning when Judges begins, there's a new generation that is at the helm. But it's important to note that while these leaders were alive, they did a great job. Verse 31 says, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord had done for Israel." Joshua and the elders that were with him leading the people of Israel were great at their job. They made sure that the people served the Lord, and they did it as long as they were alive. But then something happened. There's a gap in the next generation that comes up, and they don't serve the Lord. They don't know who God is. And what we learn from this is that leaders play a key role in the attitude of a group. Joshua and those elders fostered an environment in which the people could serve God. But then this new generation that comes up, they don't do that. Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 10 is another sad depiction of what happens to the people. Another account of Joshua's death. In Judges 2, 7 through 10 it says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen the great work that the Lord had done in Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. Verse 9, and they buried him within the boundaries of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountains of Gaash. And all the nation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And that's a big uh-oh. This next generation that comes along, they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know his work. They didn't know who this God was. And that's why originally in my notes I said they had a failure to raise leaders. Well, no, they had leaders, but they weren't knowledgeable ones. They didn't know who God was and what he demanded from them. Maybe some of you here might know this, especially the college students probably do. There's a professor at Florida College named Tommy Peeler, and he is known as being the hardest teacher at the college. And he is. He's very difficult. But if you go into a Peeler class, as they're called, and you don't know who he is or anything about the class, you want to know what's going to happen? With a lack of knowledge, you're going to have a lack of respect for the class. You're not going to know what's expected of you. And for that, a lot of kids fail and drop that class. Well, think about that with God. If you have a lack of knowledge of who God is, well, that's going to have a lack of respect towards him. Lack of reverence of why do we need to serve this God? Well, when you know who he is, you know that he's faithful, that he's loving, and that he can provide for you. And that's why you serve this Yahweh, the God of Israel's. And the new generation failed to know God and therefore failed to lead the people to serve and stay faithful to God. Elders and leaders among the people of God today and in the Old Testament play a vital role in the congregation. If you don't think elders are important, I'd encourage you to go to a church that doesn't have them. And after a while, you can see just how dysfunctional the people of God can be. And that's why Paul, in Acts 14 and verse 23 and Titus 1:5, is seen appointing elders in the churches because people need leadership. But not just any leadership, we need knowledgeable leaders. You know, we always say that we're one generation away. Always one generation away from the next not being taught about who the Lord is and wandering off in the false doctrine, not serving him, not honoring him. And that's true. We always are one generation away. And from Joshua 24, the Judges chapters 1 and 2 shows us that. How quickly in one generation people can wander from the truth. And if we're not careful today, we just as easily can veer away from God if we don't raise up knowledgeable leaders. And in order to make sure that there is no gap among the people here at Sefner, we need to make sure that we are teaching everyone, both young and old, working now to strengthen and grow every single person that's here, but also preparing for the future. Knowledgeable leaders are key to any group of people, but especially to the Lord's people. And so to avoid failure like Israel, we need to make sure we are raising up knowledgeable leaders. With a failure to remove obstacles and not raising up knowledgeable leaders, it's no surprise of the result that happened to Israel. And that is that they failed to serve only God. Not only did they stop serving God, they went and served other gods. That's why I have only in all caps. They were serving gods, but it wasn't Yahweh. In Judges chapter 2, in verse 11, notice right after where this takes place. Judges 2, 11 through 15 is what we're going to read. Right after the death of Joshua, in the mentioning of a generation that didn't know the Lord, what happens? Well, in verse 11 of Judges 2, it says, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. And they abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to the plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hand of the surrounding enemies. So they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was with them for harm, as the Lord had warned and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were in terrible distress. When you abandon God, how can you expect to enjoy the promises that he offers? You know, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 are two very important chapters. Those chapters are known as the blessings and curses of the covenant. And to summarize those very shortly, it means if you obey me, I'm going to bless you. That's what God tells the people. But if you disobey me, I'm going to curse you. And it's pretty interesting, if you just go glance at those chapters on your own time, you know, he only spends about 5 to 10 verses talking about the blessings. But then he has to spend a whole lot of time explaining what those curses are going to be to try and get it through the head of the stubborn people. Serve me or else. And we see in Judges chapter 2, they went off and served the Baals. That's far from serving God. I mean, did they forget the first commandments? You look back at the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verses 3 through 6. You shall have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God. And there is no God who can deliver like God. You want to know why? Because there is no other God. And yet the people went and served those other false gods. What a sad situation they find themselves in. Before their sins, in verse 15, it says, they were in terrible distress. But what are our gods? You know, Judges 2 and verse 12 says they went after other gods. But what are we going after in our life? Matthew 6 and verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You know, in a section that's talking about being sure to lay up our treasures in heaven, this is what Christ offers in his Sermon on the Mount, that you need to make up your mind. What's it going to be? You can't serve God and you can't serve money, but for you, what is it? Maybe it's not money. But fill in that blank. You can't serve God, and what is it for you? Maybe it is money. Maybe it's your work and your job. Maybe it's entertainment that you love and you're just unable to give up. Maybe recreation such as sports or extracurriculars. Maybe it's your family. It gets in the way of you serving God. Your stuff, your friends, your education, yourself. What is it? Either serve God or serve money. Because if you're trying to do both, you're going to be the most miserable person in the world. And that's what Christ is saying in Matthew 6:24. Choose. You can't serve both. If you're not all in for God, you might as well be all out. Because he demands complete loyalty from us as his followers. Now, have you ever asked someone to come to church with you? I ask that question a lot to people. And if I had a dollar for every time someone said they'd come to church, and you know, you get your hopes up, but then they say, Sunday morning I got a standing fishing date with my dad, you know, got to do that. On the way to church this morning, I remember passing by two boats. People had to go out to the lake. It's a beautiful day to do that. What is it going to be? Are we going to be able to serve only God in our lives? Are we caught finding ourselves serving the Baals? God never mentions anything in the whole Bible about his people giving him half a heart or half service. If he does, he's rebuking them for it. He wants your whole heart. And if we think that we can serve other gods in our life and that God will be okay with that, now we need to read Matthew 6 and verse 24 again. You can't serve God and money. So what's it going to be for you? We will lose our faith if we fail to serve only God. But very quickly, see, I threw some of you off. You thought it was about to be the invitation, 3-point sermon. No, there's a 4th point this morning. They failed to learn from the past. You know, in Judges, the people begin a downward cycle of sin. And that's something that most of us are maybe familiar with, that cycle of sin. How they find themselves in rebellion against God. They're sinning against Him. They're serving the Baals. They're serving other gods. And then all of a sudden, because of that sin, what did God say? I'm going to curse you. And they find themselves oppressed. And so they're in terrible distress. And they cry out to God. And they say, save us. Send us a deliverer. And so then God sends a judge. And the judge helps them. And they're victorious. And they conquer the other people. And then again, they go on sinning. And the cycle repeats itself all the way through the book of Judges. And we normally call it the cycle of sin. You know, it just keeps going. I like to think of it as a toilet bowl, you know. It's a cycle, all right, but it's going downhill fast. They're going right down the toilet. It's not looking good for them. And we see this in Judges 3 and verse 12. This is a great illustration of this. Judges 3 and verse 12 says, "And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord." And this is right after Othniel, the first judge, delivers the people. I mean, 40 years went by, but yet after, you know, 40 years, wouldn't we say that's about the time of one generation, maybe? Maybe two? All of a sudden, the cycle repeats itself. And they go away from God. Because they didn't learn from the past. It says, again, they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, they went back to it. But I'd encourage you to think about what sins you struggle with in your life. When you struggle with a certain sin, a certain temptation, do you pray, when you commit that sin, do you pray to God, ask for forgiveness and repent to do it no more, and then boom, you don't struggle with that temptation ever again? That's not how it works. For most of us, what we struggle with are the same temptations for years in our lives. Just because we repent about it doesn't mean that urge to do that is going to just go away. And so are we like this? Are we failing to learn from our past? Again, are we like the dog in 2 Peter 2:22? The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, having washed, returns to her wallowing in the mire. You know, having a dog now in our life. Haley and I have a chocolate lab, a huge dog. She's like 85 pounds. She's more of a miniature horse, as we like to call her. And I had a dog growing up, but it was a wiener dog, and that's a dog under 15 pounds, so I think that's more of a cat. But having a big dog, I've seen this verse so many times, and it's disgusting. When a dog gets something out of its body that its body cannot handle, it is harmful for it, and so it says, I need out. But yet, after a while, she'll just always go running back to it. And it's like, what are you doing? You just got rid of that. Why would you go back to it? And it's such a great illustration. Because we do the exact same thing with sin. We know it's harmful for us. We know that it separates us from God. It is poison, described as gangrene and cancer in the New Testament, as leaven, something that spreads and gets in your life and ruins it. And yet, we go back to it. Are we failing to learn from our past? You know, we need to learn from the mistakes of those before us. We need to learn from the people of Joshua and Judges. How they went from serving God, but then all of a sudden the wheels came off and they stopped serving Him. But we also need to look inward to our own lives. How maybe there are times where we said, I'm going to enter this covenant with God. I'm going to be baptized. We had that zeal. We had that fire. But then after a while, we stopped serving. Why is that? As Brother Pa said on the table this morning, you know, it's a personal thing. Both the collection and the Lord's Supper. It's something we have to examine ourselves. Well, we need to be examining ourselves more than just one time a week during the Lord's Supper. We need to be examining ourselves multiple times a day to see if we are serving the Lord. And if we aren't, we need to make the necessary changes. Because what happened in the book of Judges is one of the most sad pictures in all of the Old Testament. How a people in Joshua 24 were in the promised land. They were set. They set their hearts to serve the Lord. They entered that covenant. They were on fire. We would call them a zealous people. They were a great people. They were said, let's do this. And yet Judges ends on a very depressing note. People run away from God. They abandon Him. All the terrible sins that happen at the end of the book, and the tribes split against each other. Let that never be said of us. So what happened? What caused their faith in God to dissolve and just go elsewhere? Well, it was a failure to remove obstacles, a failure to raise up knowledgeable leaders, and a failure to serve only God, and failure to learn from the past. And you know, there could be even more reasons that we could look at why these people failed their faith. But at this time, we, again, need to examine ourselves. Are we a people that were once faithful, but yet our faith has withered away and we have stopped serving the Lord? Maybe there is some here this morning that's you. You were once that zealous person. You were baptized. You said, I'm going to serve the Lord. But you know, after years go by, you've stopped. You've went and served the Baals in your life. You've went and served other idols, different things, whatever that may be. Maybe you need the prayers of the brethren on your behalf. We'd be more than happy to help you. Or maybe there are some here this morning who have never been faithful to God. Well, I'd give you the same admonition that Joshua did to the people of Joshua 24. Choose for yourself this day, who are you going to serve? Are you ready to give your life over to God? Enter into that covenant with Him. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Repent from that old man. Put it to death. Don't see those things anymore. That's the old man. You're a new man now. Ready to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If you have believed and heard the Word of God, we'd be more than happy to help you in any way that we can. Please don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.